Man, it's an overreaction Monday, except I don't think these are overreactions. I got three of them. I think Bob agrees. Number one, the Steelers told the world yesterday that we are to be taken seriously in the AFC. We're a contender. We're the favorite now in the AFC North. That's overreaction, but not overreaction number one. Do either of you disagree with that?
No.
No, I don't.
No, because their teams have problems. We'll see what they can do with them. But yeah, for now, that's the way it is.
They have Anthony Richardson next on their schedule. He might be the worst quarterback starter in all of football right now. Would you repeat for the third time today? Limitless wonder. The numbers attached to Anthony Richardson.
He has thrown six interceptions on the season. That is worse than the NFL. His completion percentage is worse than the NFL. 49%, under 50%. Ooh. And his quarterback rating is a mere 55.9.
Overreaction number two. This is Mike Tomlin's best defense since 2010. The 11 defense, very good. Then Tebow happened. They were starting to get old. The 17 defense was trending toward being excellent when you had the horrible Ryan Shazier injury. And I think it was 20. Did they start 11-0? That defense looked like it had real possibility, but it faded away and crumbled by the end of the season. This, to me, looks like his best defense since then. They have allowed 10 or fewer points in three straight games for the first time since 1973. They're allowing 8.6 points a game. They're just beating people up. I don't think they have a weakness, Bob. Am I overreacting with that statement? Best since 2010.
I think the secondary has played pretty well, and it's going to come down to health, like what's going on with Highsmith. But right now, as it stands, yes, I think you're right.
Thank you, Limits. Bob?
Yeah, I do, because of Joey Porter Jr., because they have a shutdown guy like they did with Ike Taylor. They also have a young guy in Corey Trace who got injured yesterday. I don't know how long that's going to be.
Yeah.
He's been injured a lot, but when he gets in there, and Jackson looks good. They brought him over. They have depth there, which I didn't think they have a lot of. And the secondary with Minka allowed to do what he has. He hasn't made those plays yet, but I think he will. We haven't seen those plays yet. Yesterday, he had no shot.
They're coming.
When Joey Porter bit the cheese, as Chris Hoke likes to say.
Yeah, that was a mix-up for
sure. That was a mix-up. But, I mean, other than that, they're doing everything that you should do, especially knowing that you're making it so easy on your offense to win games. Eventually, the offense has to do more because they can't expect to have this kind of performance every single week.
Yesterday I thought the offense did its part. They had they had 27 points. They wanted that touchdown at the end, it was
more of that and less of what we saw in weeks one and two.
Yeah. For sure. I think there's many similarities between this and the 2010 defense. Solid up front with good players, bookend pass rushers. Then it was Woodley and Harrison. Now we know who it is with Nick Herbig coming in there as a budding legend, Bob. You're solid on the inside and deep. And then the secondary has a star in the back end. It was Paul Amalo, defensive player of the year then. It's Minka now. Ike Taylor is Joey Porter Jr. I honestly think, and clearly health is the mitigating factor, but I honestly believe that I'm not overreacting by saying this is Tomlin's potential best defense since 2010. And the third and final overreaction, and the one we're going to talk about here, is the quarterback. Last week at this time, I was saying Justin Fields hasn't done enough yet. Got to see more. I saw more. He stood toe-to-toe with a real good quarterback early in the game, and then that guy got hurt. Field stayed on and had, I think, an A-level performance. I think the Steelers have a new quarterback, and I think his name is Justin Fields, and I think he's earned even a bad week at this point where you just stay with him.
I totally agree with that. He's earned the right to overcome a bad game. Give him a shot to do it if it happens. Now, the way he's playing, you can tell that he's being very protective of the ball, but I saw good things yesterday. The middle of the field, we've been harping on since last year, finally was attacked at times, and they were not easy throws. Both of the ones to Calvin Austin were hard throws that had to be made right on the money, given the coverage and the down and distance. So I think anytime you see stuff like that, it's encouraging. His confidence must be getting more increased as the weeks go on. If I were him, I would be. And if I were the head coach and the offensive coordinator, I would feel like this guy deserves more of a leash. Let's open up some more things and see what he can do with them.
I was just so impressed with that guy yesterday. Even after they lose Bosa, that's a good defense from back to front. They got a lot of players, a lot of hitters. And what I see with Justin Fields, what I saw yesterday was somebody who doesn't get rattled. Somebody who could make any throw you want. You want something out to the boundary. Look at one of the throws to Pickens. Look at the throw to Scotty Miller. Perfect throws, those long ones that are from the opposite hash to the opposite boundary. You want them right down the seams, like darts down the seams. Got them. You want little touch passes around the line of scrimmage, even behind the line of scrimmage. Got them. You want someone who can make a little move and change his arm angle to make a play. You got that. And then someone who can get it down the field. We know he can do that. And he can run. We haven't even seen that really aspect of his game yet. I know he ran for a touchdown yesterday on a nicely designed play. But I think teams are so careful so far and telling themselves, we're not going to let that guy beat us with his legs. That's a big point of focus of these game plans. I think we're going to see that. I'm surprised, Bob. Not having seen Justin Fields on a regular basis, my take on him was you're going to get a superstar performance or a horrendous performance. Like it's boom or bust.
We saw that in Chicago.
And it's in between. He's very steady. The last guy goes by the name of Pickett, would flee the pocket like it was on fire. This guy is very calm. That's what I see so far. You?
Well, yeah, and I agree with what your sentiment was, because if you looked at his last year specifically, he had back-to-back 4-touchdown games at one point, 8 touchdowns in 2 games. And then there were, you know, on the other side of each of those were just 3 interceptions, 2 interceptions, 2 fumbles.
Right.
All of that. So you got good and bad. So that's what I think people were sort of expecting, and maybe why people shied away from him. But the athletic ability, his age, everything made sense to say this guy is worth bringing in and seeing what he can do. But I don't think anyone thought he'd start the season because of Russell Wilson's calf injury. Isn't it funny how things work, though? Like you said, that blocking sled incident. If it doesn't happen, is Fields even on the field at this point? If Russell Wilson plays the same way?
No. And now, man, is there a single person out there who doesn't believe that Justin Fields would be the quarterback next week, even if Russell Wilson is declared 100% tomorrow? I just can't believe that. Somebody named Presto just sent me a tweet. Vegas still has the Steelers right now as 3rd in the AFC North.
Behind the 2 teams you would expect them to be.
Ravens, Bengals, Steelers. I'm not a betting man, Bob, but if I were, I would put all kinds of money on that. They're already up 2.
Yeah, but I also think it's such a long year, man. Things can change in a heartbeat. All it takes is one, you know, bad performance, and then, you know, the Ravens win again, and it's 1 game, and they have 2 head-to-heads. I understand why they're doing that, but I think the Steelers like the position they're in. Go ahead, keep doing that. They'll just keep doing what they're doing, and they should be able to do it for the next month. I would be shocked if they didn't go 3-1 over the next 3.
Yeah,
four
me
games,
too.
I mean,
Mark Maskey of the Washington Post, who I think covers the game as well as anybody in the country. This headline today with Justin Fields, the Steelers are going off script. They're also 3-0. They're making headlines, Bob. They're a story around the NFL right now. And the off script part of that is, well, it was supposed to be Russell Wilson, and now it's not. Let's hit the phone lines, Limits. Let's go.
All right, let's begin with JT in Butler.
What's up, JT? Good.
I had an outlandish take too. I mean, Justin Fields has been playing so well, and the defense has looked so good. Why not haggle, have Omar Khan trade Russell Wilson for like a Jalen Waddle and a pick or a Tyreek Hill? You know the Dolphins are desperate at this point. They can't do anything without a competent quarterback.
Bob?
Again, no, the money you're talking about, I don't know what Waddle's. It's not as much as Tyreek Hill. I get that. But I understand the concept there, what you're saying, and I wouldn't disagree with it. I think he is going to look into options. How deep he goes into those options will determine what's next and how much you may have to give up. But I would rule out Tyreek Hill. They're not going to do that. I would rule out I even think Devontae Adams is going to be too much for them, even though I would like to see him if they go the wrong direction. But Miami has to make a choice here. Either they bring in another quarterback or they will be people who are selling off some items moving forward.
I'm not trading Russell Wilson. I think it's one of their strengths in the division and maybe even the conference to have, I consider him a backup now, even though that's not probably not going to be reflected on the depth chart still. I like having that experience behind Justin Fields.
Let's play a little experiment with Russell Wilson. If he goes through this entire season and doesn't play, hypothetically, what is his value in the offseason to a team?
Probably about the same as this offseason. You could get him for nothing, and not many teams would.
Right. He needed to play and show that he still could play this year, and he still might get the chance. I'm not going to shut the door on any of this, but if he does, that's how you make a statement that I could be a starter.
Yeah.
And the starting jobs are going to be hard to come by.
I mean, I look at these teams, just look at the teams in the division. Every single one of them needed their backup. In last year, or certainly in recent years, the Ravens' backup is Josh Johnson. The Bengals' backup is Jake Browning. And the Browns' backup is Jameis Winston. I'll take Russell Wilson over any one of those. And if this season plays out like many, many others, probably at least half the teams, and maybe all of them, are going to have to dip into their quarterback depth. I think it's an advantage. I'm not trading Russell Wilson.
No, I agree. Again, for the same concept, I thought it was prudent not to trade Dan Moore. You don't know how many tackles you're going to need. Look at yesterday. Chargers lost both of their starting tackles, and when that happened, they're really not the same football team, and who knows the extent of whatever injuries they're dealing with. You're going to need depth on all of these positions. Quarterback is the most important, so have the most depth there.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Wonder Twin?
Here's Paul in Chippewa.
Paul, I used to have a dentist in Chippewa. That's not a joke or a punchline or the beginning of some sort of saying. I really did, Bob. I used to drive out to Chippewa to see my dentist.
Do you have the same nickname that they've given to Landon Roberts, Tooth Chipper?
No. I did get kicked in the tooth once. This tooth right here, my front tooth, was bonded 30 years ago, and the guy did an unbelievable job.
Still not have to go through a redo.
Never.
Original bondage.
Yes. Go
is
ahead, sir.
Word? Is that the right word?
Okay, Joe. Hey, Chippewa is a great place.
Yes,
hey,
it is.
I'm a season ticket holder for over 20 years, and I've been listening to the show from the beginning, and I agree with Joe, your three key points you've been discussing. I agree with them 100%. I just want to throw something else out. You know, next week we have a good chance of winning. So then we have the Sunday night game against the Dallas Cowboys, who are not doing good, and of course we want to win that game. But what's disappointing to me as a Steeler fan, you know, I'm at the game yesterday. Everybody's so into it. It's such a great atmosphere. However, the Cowboys have a very strong following, probably right up there with the Steelers, maybe a couple other teams. People are buying the Steelers season tickets, you know, on Ticketmaster. And in all of my years, I've never seen anything like this. I was telling Austin when I called in, my tickets, which are peanut heaven, all the way at the very top 500 level. I don't go there. I can't climb the steps like that. But my face value tickets are $142. I even sent him a thing from Ticketmaster. People in my row are asking $960 for two tickets.
Are they getting it?
Well, the cheapest ticket, if you went on Ticketmaster, the cheapest ticket, standing room only, is $300.
So what is your complaint? How much the tickets are, or that people around selling them?
No. It's just that there is going to be so many Dallas fans in that game. It's going to be an embarrassment for the look at how many Steelers fans are in Denver. Okay. You know.
Well, why is that your worry today? I'm. Bob, do you want to talk this man off the ledge?
I don't understand that either. And if you're a 3-0, 4-0 football team at that point, I think the people who want to support that team are going to be there and resist selling. I understand why you want to make money if you're one of those people who have those tickets. I get it. But I think you also want to be there for something that's developing into some special story.
That's me. I want to be there. I'm going to be there.
Well, no, you should go ahead.
I'm sorry. Thank you. I'm disappointed. There's so many other Steeler fans that as big a game as this could be, you know, we could go 5-0, but they're just bailing out to make money on their tickets. That's
well,
my point.
Forget about them. I'm looking at a game right now. Tony Romo, as a matter of fact, in 2008, which was a great football game, Deshae Townsend makes a pick late in the game. There ain't many Cowboy fans there. The place went absolutely nuts. And I'm going to suggest that by midway through the third quarter of this Cowboy game, which is a night game at Acrisure Stadium, that the Steelers are going to be destroying that team. The Cowboys are soft defensively. They can't stop the run. This team is going to get after Dak Prescott. And I'm saying that the Steelers announced themselves yesterday. I think that the whole country is going to get a look at this team that night against America's so-called team on national television. And by the end of that night, they're going to be 5-0, and everybody's going to be talking about them, Bob.
But this worry about
Cowboy fans infiltrating Acrisure Stadium 2 weeks ahead of time. What is happening here?
I don't know. That's the least of my concerns. If you want to make money, go ahead. If you want to go and be there because you bought those seats to watch games that are going to be memorable, go ahead. Sunday Night Football is Mike Tomlin's had a very tremendous record of success in night football in general.
Yes.
And given the fact that it is Dallas, given the fact that people do not like Dallas around here, given the fact that Jerry Jones is their owner and they are struggling right now, I think this is going to be an amped up game for the Steelers defense. They could make life on Dak Prescott very difficult. Also, it could go the other way. Again, because it's not that easy to sit here and just say they're going to win every game. They're not. They're going to have some games where you're going to look at it and say, what the heck happened? You know, and around the league, littered with those every single week. So they will be favored in every one of these next four games. I would be shocked if they weren't. So that's where they are right now, and they've earned that distinction by this start.
By the way, that interception by Deshae Townsend in that game against Tony Romo, the score tied 13-13 with a 1:51 left in the fourth quarter, is a top 10 or 5 regular season moment at Heinz Field. You watch that place light up. Lamar Woodley, who never gets enough credit, had the hit on Romo and forced that interception. You remember that game, Bob?
Yeah, I remember that. All those kind of big games, absolutely.
This defense is threatening to be just as good as those defenses. The ones, you know, the period I'm talking about around 04 to around 10. I think this defense can be just as good.
Biggest win of Justin Fields' career?
Yeah, you got to think. I mean, he started, as you saw earlier, 6-26, so he didn't have a lot of big ones. And last year, everybody was talking about how they were going to probably end up with the first pick and jettison Justin, which they did for a 6th-round draft pick, by the way. And now he's undefeated as the signal caller for the Steelers.
Could be the steal of the offseason with the way it started right now. We'll see if it continues, but I think you might have found your quarterback for the future of the near future for sure.
Romo, even before the Steelers scored a point yesterday, was just absolutely effusive in his praise of Justin Fields. He said, I've been higher on him the first 2 weeks than most, and I'm even higher on him now. And that was during their first touchdown drive. And Bob, I thought maybe as important as any throw in the game, because the Chargers had just scored. Herbert looked great against, as we know, a very good defense. And the first two plays after that for the Steelers, Jaylen Warren, I've never seen him get lit up like that by Derwin James, and then Hayward got broken in half, and you're thinking, wow, they're taking over here. And then it was a simple little drop and rifle by Fields to George Pickens in a little tight area there down the seam for a little 5-yard gain and a first down, but that seemed to get them going. That's a big conversion.
Anytime you convert with something like that, and the guy gets to the sticks, you move it along. And again, we talked about the throw to Scotty Miller on a 3rd down play also that got 20. They had a lot of 3rd down conversions that were big plays. They didn't seem like they were big. Miller turned that into 20 when it could have been just, you know, 8. But he got away from Samuel. So those are little plays, but the ball has to be in the right spot. And that's the thing. If it's in the right spot, you can turn 4 yards into 10 yards. You can turn 3 into 7, whatever the case may be. So I think it's important to keep playing Justin Fields. And I don't think he's going to lose his job unless he has back-to-back bad games. I think he's earned a mulligan. If he has one bad game, I think they'll still stick to him, and why not?
There were also some gigantic penalties on the Chargers. Like, it seemed
Derwin James on that one drive got called for, like, it was like Broderick Jones on defense. You know, it seemed like he was...
The hold on Pickens, you mean?
Yeah, but then there was an unnecessary hit.
By Mac, right?
Mac on that one.
And there was the face mask on a different Scotty Miller play. And in each one of those situations, in one of them, the Steelers would have faced a fourth down. In another, I think it would have been a long third down. There were some, and they were all legitimate calls. Don't get me wrong on that. They were all perfectly legit, but they were just gigantic calls. And the long drives, Bob, that is so important and so complimentary to this defense. I mean, what defenses want more than anything else is points. Give us points, give us a lead. And they did that yesterday, too. But they also want to be kept off the field for rest purposes, for exposure to game plan purposes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You don't want to lay everything out there because you're on the field the whole game. This way you save a little something. You know what I mean?
Yes.
For when you have a lead late in a game. And this offense is perfectly complementing this defense so far.
And as much as the defense dominated the second half against the Chargers, the offense got it going that last drive they had. If there was any chance the Chargers were going to get into this game again, they had to come away with a takeaway or a three and out. That offense just continued to grind. It was no secret what they were doing. Najee Harris was like the heartbeat of that offense.
Yeah.
They just played smash mouth offense. And at that point, it became an unconditional surrender.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What's Cooking, brought to you by your local GEICO rep, very kindly, Mr. Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. All right, let's take one last call today. It's been a day filled with calls, Bob. I think people are genuinely excited. It's just some of the people at the game. You were at the game. Lennox,
yeah.
It feels like a new energy there with the Steelers, doesn't it?
I think that's a good way to put it. It was a good energy in the stadium, a lot of positivity. You know, Joe, it's kind of funny. The last couple of years, you hear all the gripes with the Kenny Pickett offense or when Mitch Trubisky was in there or the latter stages of Ben. It was an excited crowd. It was a crowd that seemed a little bit rejuvenated to be back to a different style of Steeler football with obviously the defense, but a little bit more explosion on offense.
Let's take one more.
Let's go all the way to the West Coast. Daniel is in Huntington Beach, California.
Oh, what a good place to be. Hello, Daniel. How are you?
Well, such a great place to be. And, Joe, before I even get into Steeler topics, I was wondering what you thought of this. I was on hold with customer service, and then they were like, to go back to the main menu, press the star key. And then it dawned on me, what a cool segment idea for Joe Starkey. Press the star key.
You like that,
Bob? So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you.
I like that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, we're going to go to that next week.
To push the star key.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Let's push him. Push him in a direction.
Off the ledge.
Back him into a quarter.
What do you got?
Only you guys could do that.
We're low on time.
Yeah, just really quick, man. I was excited when we got Fields. I think it's the right fit for him. He was playing with a minor league team in the NFL, and that's why we saw the numbers we did. And I'm encouraged. I think they're going to continue to be patient with him and allow this kid to grow. And I think we're in for some really great football moving forward.
I agree with every syllable and half syllable you just uttered. Bob, thanks for the call. Here's some numbers for you. You ready for this, Bob?
Yep.
This was on Good Morning Football. Justin Fields, in his career to this point and with the Steelers, you ready? Record, 10-28, 3-0. Completion percentage, 60.3, 73.3. Passer rating, 82.3, 95.3. Sacks taken per game, 3.5, down to 2. Giveaways a game, 1 per game, down to 0.3. And one thing I've been hoping for this defense's sake, is more leads, more ability just to not worry about anything but getting after the passer. I think we forget that in these last, it feels like several years now, but certainly a couple, the defense is never playing at the biggest advantage of having a huge lead. And we're going to see some of those games coming up where they just unleash it's always a tight game, or they're always behind with the Matt Canada offense, the Kenny Pickett offense. This could be a whole new world.
It'll make them even better than what they've shown, because at that point, you know, one-dimensional offenses become really, really difficult to do against the Steeler defense. So that could be but the offense has got to keep that up and get better even. So that's where it goes from here against Indianapolis, which is not a good team right now, and they have some questions about how their quarterback has been playing.
Steelers are going to take over that stadium, and then Sunday, October 13th, this guy who just called us is worried about Cowboys fans coming here. What is Vegas going to look like?
Allegiant Stadium, they won't be Allegiant to the Raiders. It'll be all
Steelers. It's going to be 70,000 Steeler fans is what I think. All right, Bob, thank you. You're a wonderful man.
Always a pleasure to be here. See you, City Limits / Austin / Wonder King.
Say goodbye
Wonder
to Bob. Pumping ain't easy out here. Thanks, Bob.
See ya.
Thank you, Limits, for the pizza, too.
Of course, thank you.
I'm going to pay you back for that tomorrow. What a generous man you've become.
I try to take care of you like you take care of me.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High of 78 today with cloudy skies, but not too cloudy for the savvy old news hound to get out and play some golf, Bob. I have 18 holes today, and I intend to break 90. If I don't, I'm going to become very angry and maybe break my clubs.
Just remain patient. Remain patient at all times, Joe Starkey. And if you get into trouble, do not press the star key.